Well, we could do what if Sega had released another console?
I don't know what I'd say about that. Like,
well, the inspiration struck me that time you were talking about the Nintendo Cafe, and you're like, what if it's another Dreamcast or something? And I'm like, I could only hope. Dreamcast is great.
Oh, yeah. My response is like, we already know it's called the Xbox.
Ooh.
It's kind of true. I feel like Microsoft kind of screwed them, you know? There's so much Dreamcast-y about the Xbox. It's kind of ridiculous.
Oh, do you want to talk about the end of Dreamcast End of Days?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, welcome to the Famicom Dojo podcast. I'm Vink.
I'm Sean.
And first of all, we'd just like to thank everyone for the really good response we've had for these first few episodes. Keep those comments coming in. We read all of them, and we'll try to put in anything you mention. Just want to thank you all for your support so far.
Yeah, absolutely, and keep telling your friends. That's how this thing is going to grow. And so I guess on to the show.
You know, a few days ago, I finally picked up some batteries for my old VMU.
Oh yeah, what kind do those take anyway?
It's kind of like the little watch batteries, and it takes more than one of them too. The battery life actually doing anything on that is just atrocious, just absolutely horrible. But I remember that being so cool when it came out. Did you get into the VMU scene at all?
I didn't play enough games. I did remember, like, you know, buying them, because I didn't get my Dreamcast until after it was pretty much dead, and I feel really terrible for not supporting it more.
I remember criticizing you for making that PlayStation 2 decision.
Huh?
I was in Japan at the time, and Ben was on the phone with you, and you were talking about wanting to get a PlayStation 2, and I'm like, don't do it, man, don't do it! And your argument was Final Fantasy X, and I went, okay, I've lost this battle, but...
right, which, by the way, I played Final Fantasy X years later and got the Blitzball and stopped, because I just played Blitzball all the time. But anyway.
But what was I going to say at the time? Because you wanted a new system for playing role-playing games, and at the time, what did Dreamcast have that really would have brought you there? Evolution, Seventh Cross... Oh my gosh! All the role playing games.
Is this timeline right? Because I got a Dreamcast shortly after the Samba de Amigo 2000.
You're right. You did. And I guess I was trying to convince you to hold on to that and not have any fun with a system that I personally couldn't afford.
Oh well, no! Because I played like Shenmue, you know, and I imported Shenmue 2. For the European version, because it had the subtitles and everything, and I even did the hack, which involved the VMU somehow. I don't remember how I did that. Oh, you had to use SegaNet. Downloaded your Shenmue 1 file, sent it like via email or something, and then would do the hack, and then put it back, and then you download it again over SegaNet onto your VMU. So that's about as far as I got into the VMU scene. Like, I know Skies of Arcadia, came out and used that a bit, but I was waiting for the GameCube version to come out, so I never got the Dreamcast one. And then people complained about there's like an extra character in the GameCube version, I guess, and you couldn't do the cool VMU stuff at all, or was that compatible with the Game Boy? I don't remember anymore, to be honest.
No, it was out, but I mean the stuff wasn't so important. But yeah.
So to answer your question, no, cool. Not really.
Well, like, for those who aren't sure, VMU is the visual memory unit, and it was like a really tiny Game Boy you stuffed into your Dreamcast controller. Mm. All right, let me give everyone a moment to Google it right now.
Yeah, I mean, okay. You know, it wasn't the first one. Like, the N64 sort of pioneered the memory unit inside your controller thing.
Yep, it did, and the VMU wasn't even the first one with a screen. That was the Pocket Station.
Oh yeah, wow.
Which never came out in America, but some people imported, because the American version of Final Fantasy VIII did use it, even though the peripheral never came out. But I remember one of the my fellow students had one, and he was playing some, I don't know, monster raising game or something on it, and I'm like, ah, that looks really boring, because it had a screen resolution of, I don't know, like just like 20x20 or something. Just right. I mean, but as a gimmick, it was neat. But the VMU didn't do much better. It upped the resolution a little bit.
Yeah.
But what it did have that the Pocket Station was just four buttons.
Right.
But the VMU had like a D-pad.
Yes.
So I mean, now this is coming from someone who was poor. never had a lot of money, so I would be downloading VMU games through the Dreamcast to put on the visual memory unit. Like I had a version of Tetris. I don't know, a couple little games that worked pretty well on the thing.
I think I had Chow's from like Sonic Adventure 2 or something.
Sonic Adventure, yeah. But I mean, for the most part, it wasn't really used for anything too important. I think some of the sports games put like some statistics or something on there, or I know if you played like pretty much any game, they'd put like a custom like title on there. You know, like if you're playing Soccer Tyson, whatever character you're talking to, they had the picture of that person on there, or sometimes it was just the game's logo or something.
Right.
Virtual Tennis actually had a little tennis game on there. It's actually somewhat easier to play than the one on your screen. You could actually just focus on that one being played.
Right.
But I don't know. I liked it. I liked it. But getting this VMU up and running, and I mean, it was sad for me for two reasons. The first one is I knew the batteries would be dead in about 2 hours. Because they never really lasted very well. But the second one is I really miss the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
And not just missing the Dreamcast, I feel like there was a great disturbance in the force the day it died. You know, like it wasn't consoles die. They die all the time, but this was the end of future generations of Sega consoles as well. And I guess I don't know. I've always been a Nintendo fan. I didn't own a Genesis until after I owned a Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
I missed a lot of good games on there because I was a Nintendo loyalist. But I got into the Saturn due to import gaming because I started becoming interested in Japan. And Saturn games there was just a lot of variety, and it was easy to mod a Saturn. You just bought a card to plug into the top, hardware to modify. So I really got into import gaming with that, and then I moved on to the Dreamcast when it came out, and I had so much fun with that system. I think probably. That was one of the highlights of gaming in my life was when I first got the Dreamcast, and I stuck with it, and I kind of gave up on Nintendo for a while there. I cheated.
Wouldn't be the first time, as
it wouldn't be the first
viewers
time,
of the show will soon know.
Yeah, definitely, but like Nintendo 64 just didn't have what I was looking for. And like the Sega Saturn import scene had that, and then the Dreamcast like domestic scene actually had some really good titles.
Oh, I know, because like we were playing Power Stone, and you know, being a Nintendo fanboy, I was already playing like Smash Brothers. And I was like, oh, Power Stone's so much better. It's like, well, I don't think it was better, but I certainly enjoyed the hell out of it.
Oh yeah, I don't know if it was better. If it was better for me, actually,
really,
Don't burn me as a heretic, but like I never got into Smash Brothers too much. I think because I was so bad at it, just like really, really, really bad. I could never survive long enough playing against friends to get good at it. And it wasn't a game I really played by myself. But Power Stone you can pick up right away.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. But like, Dreamcast, I don't know, like, there were bad games on the Dreamcast, definitely. There were bad games. Sure. But, like, it seemed like there were so many good games for how long it survived. I mean, it was on the market for, like, what, less than 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it lingered a little on the market after it was officially discontinued, like, it had basically 2 years that it was, like, actively supported. And during that time, there were so many good games here and in Japan.
Yeah.
And it got me wondering, like, what would have happened if Sega... I mean, you asked me previously, like, right. what did Sega do wrong with the Dreamcast? And the answer, of course, is the Saturn. Right. I mean, they'd lost so much money that the Dreamcast didn't do that bad, actually. It sold well enough. You know, it sold better than the Saturn, but the problem is they needed it to be a blockbuster to stay in the game.
Yeah, and to my knowledge, too, one of the things that sunk them was that they sold the console as loss leader, and that yep. really, you know, despite what they might have said about that, that really hadn't been the case in the industry up until that point. So they, you know, were losing money. Like, you know, Microsoft did the same thing with the Xbox, but, you know, they lost $5 billion to break into the industry.
Yeah, but the problem is at the time the Dreamcast came out, I had more money than Sega. Right. So, I mean...
Yeah,
they'd lost so much money, and they went into so much debt. And then what didn't happen is, you know, they pioneered the use of this GD-ROM. You know, it didn't use CDs, a common misconception, and it didn't use DVDs. Right. It used something in the middle, the same as the Naomi hardware, mm-hmm. the same as their arcade hardware. These GD-ROMs, which held more than CDs but less than DVDs.
And as I found out from working at Toyorific, meant you couldn't resurface them either if they got scratched.
Yeah, exactly. But more so than that, the problem was is that Sega wanted to do this so they'd have more data on their discs and, you know, all that stuff. But they left the ability to play CDs in the system, which I don't think anybody ever did, you know? I mean, when was the last time you cranked up an audio CD on your Dreamcast? I mean anybody right. by that time, 1999, you know, anybody had, you know, a CD player right. by that point.
Well, it made sense, you know, from the perspective of their earlier consoles that did that, because all the CD systems did that.
But like, yeah, oh, definitely. But like, since they weren't letting you play Saturn games, I mean, if they had, right. that would have been a valid reason. But right. since they didn't, leaving it able to read a CD was a huge problem for Sega because it allowed piracy, rampant piracy. Most of my friends who owned Dreamcast at the same time, a lot of them, the only money Sega ever got from them was from the system, which probably was sold at a loss.
No, yeah, they didn't make money off the system, so they didn't make any money.
But they had it was so easy to pirate games. It was so easy. And make them self-booting. I mean, you didn't mm-hmm. I mean, it was actually in many cases easier because, I mean, Sony was already pushing their way into store shelves and, you know, right. things like that. In many cases, it was much easier to pirate a game than to buy it. Even if you had the money for it, sometimes you couldn't find the game you were looking for right. or, you know, stores had really limited selections of the games. And Dreamcast was marketed at the hardcore gamer. You know, it wasn't really being sold to kids. It wasn't being sold to grandmothers. It was being sold to people who had the internet and who knew how to burn CDs, you know?
Also, it's thinking.
Oh, man. But, like, let's go a little crazy speculation now. Okay. What if the Dreamcast hadn't, you know, died?
Well, what would have a successful... Sega console have looked like what would a successful Dreamcast have looked like to parlay into a new iteration?
Well, I mean, part of what killed the the Dreamcast was dead hardware, but like Microsoft didn't help. Right. I mean, the hype was already spreading for the Xbox, and like the Dreamcast was the hardcore system out at the time. I guess mm-hmm. PlayStation 2 was trying to position itself there too, but like Dreamcast was the system of 2D shooters and fighters and, like, you know, kind of a little more obscure stuff, but like Xbox came in and headhunted more, you know.
Well, I think you just hit it right there. Is like I think that the Xbox was the next Sega system, more or less. You know, Microsoft. Let me tell you why.
Okay, tell me why.
So you know, Microsoft was in there and they touted the whole, you know, Windows CE thing, even though, you know, like I said, the games were self booting, so it didn't actually have to use Windows CE. I'm not even sure how many games actually ended up. You can probably count them like the fingers of one hand, right? But like, there were so many weird similarities between like the Dreamcast and the Xbox. Like, you know, it didn't have VMUs, but it had those two memory unit ports in the controller, just like the Dreamcast. The design of the controller itself, apart from that, was very Dreamcast-y.
Yeah.
And then the Dreamcast, I think, was the first console to have anything like SegaNet and like internet capability. And,
that's very true.
And then Microsoft launches Live. I mean, come on, this is starting to creep me out a little bit here. And then Shenmue 2.
And Microsoft and some of the Shenmue, Panzer Dragoon, mm-hmm. Jet Set Radio.
Yeah,
or some
weird,
of its
right?
Well, launch or near launch titles. Yeah, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, so I mean, if it had been like that, they would have probably built on their online gaming, which they were starting to pioneer, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and like Nintendo didn't pick up the gauntlet at all.
No.
So,
oh my!
Yeah.
What? Like when Sega became a third party company, they threw franchises around almost at random. I mean, some made sense. Sonic goes to Nintendo. Obviously, that makes sense. Put the Sonic games on it. At least at first, it was just Nintendo. And their Hector and the Giant Egg, or Edgar and the, I don't know, whatever
right.
that game was that I'm trying to forget. But
I've already forgotten.
And you know, and Xbox got the like Sega franchises. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like the Chihiro arcade hardware. I don't know if Xbox ever got it, but they got the new Outrun. You know,
right?
Oh, the Chihiro hardware. If you don't know, was like arcade hardware, basically similar to what the Xbox had. Mm-hmm. Another game that ran on that hardware was Ghost Squad, and another game was House of the Dead 3.
Oh wow.
Those were developed for that. But anyway.
Speaking of arcade hardware, though, wasn't Triforce between like Nintendo and Sega and someone else?
Nintendo, Sega, and Namco.
Yeah. And F-Zero, which was ran on that hardware, was like one of the most Sega-y games I can think of that came out for
Definitely.
So.
I think Triforce also powered the Mario Kart.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Game. I'm not sure if it there's a new one. Well, not new, but I mean newer one now. And I'm not sure if it's Triforce or not. I'd have to look into
that. Yeah, I saw it somewhere, but I didn't take a close enough look. Man, well, where have my priorities gone? That's kind of terrible. Anyway, you were saying.
but that's a weird Mario Kart. You can play as Pac-Man in that one or a Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
not even kidding. But
right.
Yeah, I guess that's. I think. If Sega would have stayed in, they would have continued trying to be the high end. You know, I think if they had made it into this generation, their specs would be on par with, you know, Xbox 360,
mm-hmm.
you know, PlayStation. They would not have gone the Wii route, I don't think.
Right, right.
You know, Sega was never bleeding edge technology. You know, I mean, when Dreamcast came out, it was above everything else. But if you put it in the same generation as PlayStation 2, well, then, you know, and GameCube. Then it was underpowered, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people are going to write in and tell us that in some ways it was more powerful than the PlayStation 2, and I agree with you in some respects it was faster load times and things. But anyway,
and in some ways it didn't sell as well. Oh wait,
ouch! Listen,
yeah,
it hurts me to think about Dreamcast sometimes because I don't know. I love this little Dreamcast.
Yeah.
I liked its form factor.
Yeah.
I liked the games that were out on it, and just I want another system to come along that I fall so instantly in love with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this current console generation, I found games I really liked on Wii. You know, mm-hmm. I've there's good games on the Xbox 360, and there's good games on the PlayStation 3. But I don't know. There was just it was a system that they were really marketing to a certain kind of the Sega Scream gamer. You know the ads with the Sega Scream, the Sega.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was those people. That's who the system was made for. And like I wasn't one of those people when those ads came out, but I became one, and it's just the problem is that every system now is going for lowest common denominator. PlayStation right. with its Move, you know, Kinect is coming in. And there's hardcore elements of that too, but like, I don't know. People will disagree with me on this. Definitely people will disagree with me on this. But, and because, you know, PlayStation 2 definitely had a lot of hardcore games. Definitely. Tons.
Sure.
You know, especially later on. And the Xbox 360, as you said, a lot of Sega's hardcore titles went there, you know. But mm-hmm. I don't know. There's just something. You're just shaking your head right now because for you, Dreamcast means Samba de Amigo, right?
Well, that's the game. Oh, don't knock it, all right? But I played
I love Samba de Amigo, but it kind of goes against my hardcore thing.
I played that for months. It was so much fun. And I think it led me to import Samba 2000 as like my first import game of any kind, you know? And like, you know, and then like Ben, who like introduced me to Samba in the first place, got the Sonic Adventure 2 10th anniversary pack, whatever, when that came out. So it's like I was getting into the import gaming thing through Dreamcast. And, you know, if it weren't for them, I don't know how interested I'd be in Famicom Dojo. Right. So Samba is owed a great debt of gratitude, I think.
I think so.
But, you know, I got another stuff like Shenmue. Like I got way into Shenmue. And loved it.
Got into the sailors.
Yeah, everyone got into the sailors.
Anyway, but yeah, I agree. And Saturn was the system that got me into import gaming. Although I had imported a couple games previously for the Super Famicom, right. But never really into it too much until Saturn. But Dreamcast was the one where I'd say half of my library was import games, and it was
too. You know, we were in college at that point, and we had money. You know, not a lot of it, but more than we had as kids.
Definitely. So, I guess my question to the listeners this week is: tell about your experiences with the Dreamcast, and if you want something more pointed as a topic. If Dreamcast had been a success in this alternate reality, what do you think Sega would be bringing to E3, you know, or Tokyo Game Show? What do you think would have gone on with them? And again, just want to thank everyone for your comments and everything with that. We're having a lot of fun doing this.
Absolutely. And it's giving us more like encouragement and ideas even for, you know, the videos as well. We just got done breaking a new script, which you'll see shortly if you haven't already. And it's like that kind of like attitude and like back and forth that we don't usually get otherwise has been really, really good creatively. So I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
And we're so happy too that we're not going to try to plug our DVD this episode.
That's right.
So I think if you know about it, you'll find it. So
that's right.
Anyway. I gotta head out, so I'll talk to you later, Sean, and to all the listeners at home. Thank you.
Thank you.
Famicom Dojo.
I'm dreaming of a white cast.
Sega ta san shiro, Sega ta san shiro, Sega Saturn shiro.
We could definitely have that be the music coming in at the beginning.
Oh, I love it.